You may be seated. As you're seated, let me give you a quick bio of old Joshua. Joshua, when Jesus was speaking to him, by the way, Jesus was the commander of the host of the Lord, and I'm not going to go into the whole book, that's chapter 3. But when the Lord God, the Son, came and spoke to him, he was 90 years old. And God called him at 90, after 40 years in prep school with Moses, he called him to lead the nation and do all this conquest stuff. When God speaks to Joshua, he gives him a promise, because the natural human response to what God asked Joshua to do would be fear. I mean, to lead 3 million people into a hostile territory and do frontal attacks on established armies and cities and walled towns. Can you imagine? I mean, with your bow and arrow going to a 40-foot high wall and saying, okay, we're going to take you guys, you know. Can you imagine? I mean, they don't have aerial bombardment and drones, and they don't have M-16s. They have arrows and slingshots, you know, and spears. And they're farmers and herdsmen. So, I mean, it was a fearful thing. And so God says, I don't want you to be dismayed, verse 9. I don't want you to be afraid. I want you to know the Lord is with you, and the way you will experience that is verse 8, meditating, letting His Word fill your heart. I meet people all the time. I met one young man this week who was terribly afraid. He came to me and he ran to me and said, I heard a sound in the closet. Of course, he's only 6 years old, and you expect that, you know. And it was just his sister in there playing with her Legos. But he thought it was a monster, you know. And I said, you know, don't be afraid. Now, if you are 6 and you hear sounds in the closet and you're afraid of the dark, that's normal. If you're 16, 26, 36, 46, 56, and upward, and still afraid, that's bad. Because the Lord says you are to be progressively, verse 8, letting His Word richly dwell in you. So you are not afraid for your health. You are not afraid for your security. You're not afraid for the future. You're not afraid of attacks. You're not superstitious and afraid and living in constant fear. God says, fear not. There's one solution for facing trouble. Take God with you. There's an antidote for fear. Experience God's presence. And Joshua cultivated that word-filled life. In fact, turn back to Exodus 33. Let me show you how he got to be such a great hero. Exodus 33, you might want to mark this. Verse 11 is our first insight into Joshua's life. Joshua cultivated this word-filled life when he was earlier and younger, and he started to have it as a young man. It says in verse 11 of Exodus 33, so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp. But look at verse 11. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Now, you know what he had a habit as a young man? He loved to hang around and stay in the presence of God. Now, if you want a great habit as a young man or young woman, why don't you try that one? But Joshua was different. He didn't hang around with the crowd. He hung around with his Creator, with the Lord God of the universe. And that was his habit. He started to have it when he was young. Joshua stayed on with the Lord. He loved to hang around the meeting place of the Lord. That was the representation of God's presence. What you could say is he loved to hang around, in our terminology, church, and he loved to hang around the fellowship of God's saints. That's what his habit was. So, that's great. Now, back to Joshua 1. Here's a second habit. Look at Joshua 1 and verse 8. Turn from Exodus back to where we were. The second habit I see he cultivated is not only as a young man loving God's presence, but it says in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it. You know what he did? He obeyed that command. That was a command from the Lord. God says, I want you to let my word be in you so full it overflows. And he chose to do that. You know how I know that? Keep turning to chapter 24 of Joshua. This is one you'll see a lot of times in people's houses on little signs or needlepoint or something. But this is Joshua's testimony. He who made a habit as a young man to love God's presence, who obeyed God when he commanded him to meditate and love his word, look at Joshua 24:15. He stuck with it to the end. And he says in verse 15, this is at the end of his life, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. One of the great verses in the Bible. Whether the gods your father served on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my home, my household, we will serve the Lord. Now, you know why he could make that great majestic statement that we all love to put up on our walls? Because of the first two. Do you know why his family followed him following the Lord? Because he, as a young man, purposed that he was going to love God's presence even to the neglect of the crowd, and he was going to linger in God's presence. And then when God challenged him to let his word be in his heart and mind, he did it. And that's why he could stick to it to the end. He purposed that no matter what any other family on earth did, his was going to stay faithful to the Lord. And that resolve was only possible because he made the first two. Well, the question that we should ask ourselves is, are we lingering in God's presence? Are we writing his word on our hearts so we don't fear? Are we going to someday be able to say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord? You know, the most powerful form of leadership is not the leadership of position. You know, I'm the manager, I've got the position. It's not the leadership of expertise, I know more than everybody else. It's the leadership that is impossible not to be challenged by, and that's the leadership of character, of having a life that people want to follow. And that's what Joshua had.